Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The FT.
ISAs, why you'll have to search high and low for a decent interest rate on your savings. How you can back growing British businesses and get great tax breaks too. And finally, some good news and some not so good news on pensions. All this to come in this week's FT Money Show. I'm Jonathan Ely and I'll be bringing you all the money news this week in downloadable form with the help of my FT colleagues, Tanya Poley.
Hello.
Lucy Warwick-Ching.
Hello.
Josephine Cumbo.
Hello.
And our special guest, David Kay, Chief Executive of Puma Investments.
Hello.
Let's start with ISAs. The end of the tax year is fast approaching, and that can mean only one thing, a last-minute search for a decent home for those savings that you've had kicking around for most of the year but haven't quite got around to sorting out. Now, we'll be talking lots about stocks and shares ISAs in future money shows, but for this week, let's stick to cash. To recap, you can put up to £5,640 into a cash ISA account each year, and the interest you receive will be tax-free. You can move money between most ISA accounts, but once you take it out of the ISA wrapper, you cannot put it back in unless you have some unused allowance remaining for that tax year. In most years, at about this time of year, you get lots of special offers and big introductory bonus rates as ISA providers battle it out for your cash. This year, though, that's not really been happening. Tanya Poley has been looking at why. Tanya, give us some examples of the best rates around at the moment.
So if you want actually instant access to your ISA savings, then the best buy rate you can get at the moment is 2.5% from Cheshire Building Society. And like most of the rates around that tend to be just sort of below around the sort of 2%, 2.25% mark for those. When it comes to the best 1 year fix, that's actually lower at 2.25% from Mansfield Building Society. If you want to like lock your money up for a bit longer, you can get a slightly better rate, but only just you get 2.5% for a 5 year fix from Halifax. So actually, at the moment, there's no premium for locking up your money for 5 years in your ISA compared to actually instant access at 2.5% as well.
And how do these rates compare to what was on offer, say, this time last year?
It's a massive difference, actually. If we take the 5 year market again, last year, Halifax was offering 4.4% for locking up your ISA money for 5 years. Today, they are the best buy again, but actually it's now at 2.5%, like I just mentioned. So there's a massive difference of where rates have gone.
Well, the Bank of England's base rate is the same level today as it was a year ago, as indeed it was almost 4 years ago at 0.5%. Why have rates dropped so much on cash savings account? Why aren't banks bothering to seduce us anymore?
It's actually all because of the government. The government's funding for lending scheme, which they launched last August, was obviously launched to encourage banks and building societies to start lending more to home buyers and kind of spur activity in the market. It's actually had a very negative effect on savers, which is kind of a consequence of the scheme, really. As banks and building societies have all this kind of ready cash that they can get from this funding for lending scheme, they actually don't really need to rely on attracting retail deposits as much. So they're actually not really fighting to get your money as much as they were, say, this time last year. I mean, while the funding for lending scheme has seen like this, you know, we've actually, the last few weeks, we've seen this like fixed rate price war in the mortgage market where like people borrowing money to move home, getting access to sort of historically low rates. Those who are trying to maybe save up the money for a deposit are being hit.
Okay. And what about the old bonus rate trick where savings providers offer an introductory bonus to get your money in and then 6 months later quietly cut your interest rate to next to nothing? Is that still going on too?
It's still alive and kicking. The Cheshire Building Society Best Buy for the Instant Access ISA saving account that I mentioned earlier, that actually comes with a 2% bonus rate, which, I mean, it lasts for... If you take the rate out now, it lasts until July 2014. So it's a fair amount of time. But it's one of those things that you actually have to watch out for, that, you know, when you actually apply for one of these rates, maybe put down in your diary the when the bonus rate is due to expire, so that you know that's a good time to actually, you know, in the month leading up to it, start looking for, you know, where you should move your ISA money to.
And finally, some providers have been simplifying their offerings lately, haven't they? Is that good news for savers?
It is. We haven't seen a lot of them make that same move. But basically... NS&I and Coventry Building Society have actually done quite a big move for savers. NS&I basically has moved 100,000 of its customers into its direct ISA, which pays a high amount. So all these customers were on, a low paying rate of 0.5% on their existing ISA. They've now been automatically moved into the higher rate of 2.25%. So that's great, because really there's this whole big argument about the fact of why banks offer all these great new rates for new customers, and then they let their existing customers kind of dwindle on these low rates of 0.5% and below. I mean, I've actually had this happen to me. I was with Halifax. I recently received a letter telling me that actually my rate has gone down to 0.5%. And I took a quick look on their website, and they're actually offering a instant access of 1.95% to new customers. So it's always worth making sure that you kind of have a quick look.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tania. Don't forget, you can always... catch up on more savings rate news in this weekend's FT Money, where, as usual, our data bank pages will give you a good idea of the best rates and offers available at the moment. And rest assured, we'll be bringing you lots more ISA ideas in the weeks ahead. Still to come on the show, a rare bit of good news in the pensions arena. But first, let's find out how you can get paid to back fast-growing British businesses. There are two schemes that provide very generous tax relief to those investors who are prepared to lend to small, and in some cases very small, business ventures. One is venture capital trusts, which are listed on the stock market a little bit like investment trusts. The other is enterprise investment schemes, which allow you to invest in smaller companies for fixed periods. Both offer tax relief at 30%, meaning that if you invested £100,000, the government would allow you to knock up to £30,000 off your income tax bill. Any capital gains you make from either are exempt from capital gains tax, subject to a minimum holding period. And venture capital trusts pay dividends that are also free of tax, while enterprise investment schemes qualify for business property relief, so there is no inheritance tax due. Lucy Warwick-Ching has been looking at VCT and EIS in more detail. Lucy, what sort of companies are we talking about here? How small in this context is small?
Well, actually, there's been a few changes recently to the rules. So now, the size of company that can benefit from these EIS and VCT investment has increased from 7 million to 15 million. And also the number of employees has increased. So now it can be a company with 250 employees that's worth up to £15 million. So that actually has made the investment slightly less risky. David, I mean, maybe you can talk to us about why investors should put their money into VCTs. You're a VCT manager. Why should people be investing?
Well, I think VCTs are often perceived as being higher risk investments, and it's true that they're not suitable for everyone. But if they're properly understood, I think they can play a very important part in people's portfolios. The hook, obviously, for many people are the tax reliefs that Jonathan was summarising. But I don't think the tax relief should be the decisive factor. I think, as you've suggested, venture capital is a little bit of a misnomer in this space, because, as you rightly suggest, the rules have changed. We can now invest in much larger, more significant, established businesses. And so it is not necessarily true venture capital, as most people would understand it, taking a bet on many startups. You can actually invest in established businesses. And I think the timing now is very interesting in the cycle, in the economic cycle, because high street banks, as we all know, have shut down, aren't lending to UK businesses. And so VCT managers have the pick of some very interesting companies, established companies, and can offer finance to those companies at very attractive rates, which of course feeds back to great returns for investors. So I think now is a very interesting time for investors to think about venture capital trusts.
As a journalist, I'm seeing lots of new launches of VCTs, and we're coming up to the end of the tax year anyway, so this is traditionally the time when people do launch their new VCTs. But you mentioned that bank lending is drying up then. So is this kind of a precedent for VCTs?
I think they do have more than ever a really important role to play now that the banks are constrained. I think there has been a delay in some of the launches this year. Advisors were focused very much on some very big changes to the way in which they provide advice called the Retail Distribution Review. And I think some product providers delayed their launches until around now. We actually launched in November, and we've been amazed at the appetite in the market. I think for the reasons you highlight, that people are more interested in investing in UK businesses. We've already raised £6 million since November, and that's three times the amount we had raised this time last year. So there's definitely an interest. And from product providers, where there's an interested investment market, then product providers tend to be more interested in the space. But I don't think we'll see an explosion of the number of providers because it's actually quite hard to launch new products in this space. Investors understand this market. They look very carefully at track record. And so I think we'll see a lot of the same providers coming out as they are doing now with their launches.
And can you just explain a little bit more about the FSA regulation that you mentioned? I spoke to the Association of Investment Companies. They are quite adamant that they think that this new regulation will have quite a bad effect on VCTs because some advisors may stop offering them. Can you just explain how you think it will affect the VCT market?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. And there's a big debate in our industry at the moment around this. The FSA produced a consultation paper which was innocuously entitled CP1219. And the industry reacted quite vociferously against it. And I think really for good reasons, because what it was suggesting was that VCTs would be treated as unregulated collective investment schemes, UCIS as the acronym goes. And that would mean VCTs could not be marketed to all retail investors. You'd have to be a sophisticated investor. And we felt that was wrong, as many of our contemporaries in the industry did also, not least because these are very far from unregulated investments. Actually, as Jonathan mentioned, all VCTs are publicly listed. The process of becoming a publicly listed company is quite arduous and quite rigorous. Your prospectus is reviewed by the UKLA, and you're subject to their continuing monitoring. And I think the second thing that worries me is that we have here an attractive relief that's set up by government. And if you restrict the marketing of these products only to effectively wealthy, sophisticated investors, in fact, you're preventing retail investors accessing that relief. In my view, I think the FSA have listened carefully to the consultation. And I think that going forward, this consultation will not result in the doomsday scenario that some people have outlined, and actually we will still be able to promote to retail investors.
Just finally, given the vast variety of VCTs that are actually out there, what are the key things that investors should be considering when they're choosing what to invest in?
Well, there are a vast variety. I think there's four main categories. You have AIM VCTs that invest in companies listed on AIM. You have specialist VCTs that are very sector specific, like we saw a lot of solar energy VCTs in recent years. We have generalist VCTs that invest across the piece. And then you have what are called limited life or planned exit VCTs, where they seek to wind up and give the capital back after a five-year period. So the first thing that someone should look at is what type of VCT. Look at all the different types. Think about what time horizon they have for their investment. Are they looking for long-term income for many, many years, or would they like to have more certainty that they'll have their capital back in a defined period? The Puma VCTs wind up after 5 years, and some people find that attractive. But I think the second and perhaps most important thing to look at is the investment manager. You should look at their track record. You should look at what deals they have. Have any of their deals run into difficulties? And people often ask me, how do you find out that information? I think there's a wealth of information on the net now. One can go to the individual provider's website and they publish a huge amount of information. But your financial advisor can help you. There are two particular commentators in the market, Alan Bridge and Martin Churchill, who many advisors rely on to look at and compare and contrast everyone's track record, all the provider's track record. And so your advisor can help you understand which is the right one. And also there are some very good reviews written by people like Best Invest and Hargreaves Lansdown. They summarize what each provider is up to. They look at their track record. And I think they can provide some useful information.
Okay, Lucy, thank you very much. And thanks also to David Kay, the Chief Executive of Puma Investments. Tax-efficient investing is our cover feature in this week's FT Money, so you can see at a glance the key features of venture capital trusts, enterprise investment schemes and seed enterprise investment schemes, which allow investment into very small startup companies. We've got lots of ideas for the best schemes to invest in and a case study of how your cash is put to work. Let's finish off with pensions. Most weeks, when we talk about this most important of investing vehicles, the news is bad news. More rules, lower returns, more complexity. In fact, I don't think there's been much good news on pensions since Richard III was bumped off 500 years ago. But this week, there has been a bit, just a little bit. Joe Combo is here with the glad tidings. Joe, what's gone right this week?
This week we've had six providers increase their rates, which is a good turnaround considering in general annuity rates fell 11% last year in 2012. So we have six providers just bumping up their rates by modest amounts, about 2%.
And why have they done that? Presumably not out of the goodness of their hearts.
Well, what's been happening is that there has been an increase in the financial products which underpin these annuities, which insurers invest in, including corporate bonds and gilt yields. And they've edged up by about, well, gilt yields have gone up by about 10% since July last year. And corporate bonds have also risen as there has been a little bit more of economic certainty feeding into the market. So what has happened is those increases in those assets have been fed into annuity prices.
Okay, but this being pensions, it can't all be good. So what else has happened this week?
Well, there was some good news for drawdown investors a couple of weeks ago. We were discussing the fact that HMRC has announced that from the end of March, from March 26, you'll be able to access a fifth more cash from your drawdown fund with the income limits rising to 120%, the level where they were in 2011. Now, this is going to involve a little bit of tweaking of systems for insurers. They've been given 2 months to get this sorted. Most of the insurers I've been speaking to this week say, yes, it's no problem. We can sort of flick a button and it'll be okay. You go in if you're an existing investor and you're eligible to have those higher income rates around from March 26th. They'll be ready for you. But there are two big name providers who aren't so certain, and they include Aegon and Scottish Widows, who told me this week that they're going to work towards it, but by no means will they be ready to offer existing investors the higher income limits from March 26.
So if you have a policy with either of those firms, you may have to wait into
April. Well, that seems to be the position at the moment. They're saying they're doing all they can to identify the individuals who might be eligible from that point. Just to recap that this is not a universally rolled out increase. It'll depend on when you hit your drawdown review. That's when it will automatically apply. So it could be anywhere over the next 12 months. But for those people who are near March the 26th, and if you're with Aegon or Scottish Widows, I'd probably be phoning them, seeing what their position is. There's always an option to transfer your pension fund elsewhere, that they're not obligated to pass it on. I did speak to the HMRC this week, and they don't have to pass on those higher limits. That's important to point out. So perhaps a question to ask, are you going to do it? And if not, then consider your options.
Okay. And can you just remind us, for the benefit of listeners, what sort of difference this change in the cap drawdown rate from 100% to 120%, what impact could that have on someone with, say, £100,000 pot?
Just using today's, I mean, it all depends on gilt yields. But for example, if we used £100,000 in a drawdown fund now, the increase of a fifth would mean about £1,100 extra cash you could access per year.
Thank you, Joe. As ever, more detail on both of these issues in this week's FT Money. And don't forget, you can read FT Money online at www.ft.com/money or on FT's tablet or Kindle editions. I can certainly recommend the latter. I just got a Kindle subscription this week. Very effective it is too, for £17 a month. Other highlights of this week's issue. Hugh Young, the veteran Asian fund manager, writes about the prospects for investors in China as a new lunar year dawns. We've got a great account of how Ghulam Noon, the king of Indian ready meals, made his fortune. We look at why new build property in the capital might not be quite the investment it's cracked up to be. And David Stevenson looks at how UK investors can access the strategies of one of America's leading hedge fund managers. And it's been a week that many bank executives would probably rather forget. We've a roundup of all the news affecting bank shares too. Don't forget you can always catch up on the latest money news at www.ft.com/money, where you can also read our blog posts there at ft.com/moneymatters. But until next week, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Tanya, Lucy, Joe and our special guest David Kay of Puma Investments.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.